I am so pumped for today's show. Dude, I've been dying to ask you this, man. You are doing some huge things in the business, dude. I know when we were at the last Sales Summit conference, you had just passed $30 million of revenue, but you guys are doing not seven figures in a year. You and State 48 Roofing are doing seven figures in a month, bro. $1 million per month. It's still mind-blowing for me to even wrap my mind around how much sales and volume you guys are really doing. But what I want to do today is have you unpack that for all of us entrepreneurs. So guys, if you're tuning in, no matter where you're at, if you're at, you know, six figures right now, if you're doing 500K, don't let the $1 million month, don't roll your eyes at that. I think there's so many things that we can unpack. And dude, we identified with you, there's four key frameworks that you follow to get those $1 million months. So I'm excited to dive into those. But dude, you got to tell the story, man. You call me, you're like, dude, Dory just texted me, man. We hit a million. Do you want to touch on that story? I think it's really cool to know.
Yeah. So anytime we hit a million, our whole team freaks out. So it's on our CRM, so you can see it. And once we hit that two commas, baby, it just hits different. It just does. And so everybody gets jacked up. And yeah, so I forgot where we were. We were on one of our mastermind calls, right?
Yeah.
And it's like, whoop, oh yeah, we're at Andy Elliott's office doing a call. And sure enough, freaking, she's like, oh, by the way, we just did $1 million. I'm like, oh, by the way, it's like nonchalant. Like, yeah, we did $1 million. Now that's like the standard now, but the amount of effort and balls and like intensity and focus and determination, the grit that it takes to make that happen every single month is no joke. But it's good to have a team around you, and we'll get into that part here in a second. But yeah, it's there's nothing better than getting a text message saying that your business did $1 million a month.
Yeah, dude, I love that. So guys, whether you're tuning in live right now or you have us on the replay on the podcast, we're going to try to do some Q&A at the very end of this. So if you guys are live, drop some questions, because I think it'll be really good for even the people on the podcast to pay attention to. So if you have questions for Jace as we go through this, please drop them in the comments. I'll do my best to get to them. But Jason, the very first thing I want to ask you about, man, is the mindset. I know we've been working together for years now, brother, as you know, business partners, as friends, as homies. You're my accountability partner. Mm-hmm. Unpack that mindset, bro, because some of us are trying to get to, you know, our first 200 grand in business, our first 50 grand month, our first 20 grand month. Give me your mindset, bro. Like, you going out on your own, betting on yourself. Walk us through some of your psychology.
Yeah, so I think you said that word, the mindset. I didn't always have this mindset. I was not born with this mindset. No offense to my parents. I love my mom, my dad. My dad was not born with this or to not instill this mindset. My dad doesn't have a seven or eight figure or definitely an eight figure business by any means. You need to go find people that have what you want and model, mimic, and master what they do. That's my biggest thing. Most of you guys on this call know the story of Nikki T rolled into his office. He gave me the 10X rule, and that was probably 8 years ago. But then I started just getting addicted to listening and watching and hearing, going to conferences, going to masterminds, and hopping on those calls, those weekly calls that these big eight and nine figure influencers have, not influencers, business owners, doers have. And realizing that none of these guys are special, right? Andy Frisell is a dude from St. Louis, Missouri, right? That got freaking beat up and has face all jacked up. And like, it's a thing. Like Andy Elliott, I'm reading Andy Elliott's book. Same thing. His mom was an alcoholic, left him when he was like either 2 months old or 2 years old, right? Like had an amazing dad, but like his mom still isn't, you know, a factor in his life. These guys all come from broken homes, broken families, and they're just straight up broken. But I realized that they're just dudes. They're all just humans. But the difference is two things. One, they put themselves around other people that are doing big things, things that you want to do, right? Number one. So I was like, okay, I need to start listening. Well, I can't just go hang out with Andy Frisella tomorrow, right? Or Grant Cardone. But I can listen to and absorb their content. I can be a sponge. A lot of us as business owners, we get egos, right? You're doing it. You're killing it. So our egos get so big that our heads can't even fit in our own freaking car, right? And so What you need to do is check your ego and realize that there's more to learn. There's more to grow. There's more to do. And then the second part, which is probably even harder than the mindset part, is implementing and acting off of those thoughts, those emotions, and those realizations from everything that you're listening and consuming. So having that mindset is huge. It's a daily thing, minimum 30 minutes to an hour a day of consumption of a podcast, of a book, of a talk, of a speech, of a mastermind, something that will help you want to take your business, your family, and your income to the next level.
See, one of the things that I've seen about you is you actually train like you're a pro athlete. I think you train your mind. I know you train your body now like a pro athlete, but you train your mind as if you're a pro athlete. And the way that I see you is like, you know, like in the off season when a bunch of like NFL guys get together to go train together and practice together and grow together. I see you doing that. See, one of the cool things from my seat where I'm at is I've known you for over a decade now. I got to see you when you were barely making 50 grand a year, right? Like for those tuning in, I sold Jason his first house, guys. I've seen his W-2. So I've got to see the come up. I also remember you being at the mastermind when you were barely making 300 grand in a year. And now you guys are doing, you know, 12, 15 million. So I love to see that growth. But I will tell you this, out of me, like looking at it from my seat, I've noticed that you always will invest in a seminar, a ticket, a book, a course, to be around people, whether that's buying somebody lunch, going to the conference, sitting front row in a VIP section, you force yourself to get uncomfortable. And let me ask you this question, because I think a lot of people want to be the big fish in the tiny ass pond. What is that like going into a room with like an Andy Elliott? What is it like sitting front row with guys that when you lean to your right, they're doing 50 million, 100 million? What is that like for you? And tell me about getting uncomfortable and that growth that you experienced there.
Yeah. So Getting in those rooms, it's very humbling, but it's also a great, I see it as an opportunity. It's an opportunity for these guys charge $5,000 or $10,000 an hour or $100,000 a year to be in their masterminds and those closed group circles. So two things. One, I recommend, so Grant Cardone teaches this in his book, and he's been teaching it for over a decade, but what I learned and where I started taking action, he said the average millionaire reads one book a week. So 50 books a year and goes to six masterminds a year. So that's one every other month. And so I did a self-check and I said, cool, how many of those am I going to a year? Zero. How many books am I reading a year? Zero. Well, that's why you're making 50 grand. Like, dumb it down, simple math. It's like, if this dude that is a millionaire, now he's a billionaire, but saying to read one book a week. And it's not literally reading a book a week. Now, I twisted that a little bit to where like Audible, right? Consuming that content. Maybe it is tangibly reading it, but consuming that content one book a week, which is hours and hours, right? In my opinion, that's 30 minutes to an hour a day, 7 days a week in order to push through a book. Same thing with an Audible type deal. And so that's kind of been my biggest thing is taking that consumption and when getting in those right circles and in those right rooms gives you opportunity to collaborate and to network and to get your mind in the right mindset in the right room in order to scale and grow your business. If you're not hanging around people that want to grow and scale their business, you are not naturally, organically going to grow and scale your business. And if you do, it's going to be slow and it's going to be heavy and it's going to be hard more than it should be. But when you hang around the right people, like it's easier. It just is.
You're living proof of this quote. You are the average of the five people you spend the most time around. Yeah, it's just truly who you are. And I would look at, if you're listening or watching right now, Jason finds himself in a room of people that are doing more than him in life, in business, relationship-wise, you name it. And you go and learn from people that are years ahead of you. I know in our last episode, we called it the shortcut to success. And I truly believe that it is. By investing time, money, energy, you have somebody that's 10 years ahead of you. You know, like I know getting in a room with the Tommy Mello, who's doing hundreds of millions of dollars, just by having those conversations about how he runs his business, it makes you better, right? Hang around five guys that are millionaires, you're going to become the sixth. Hang around five guys that are in shape, you're going to become the sixth, just because they're different conversations. Dude, any other thoughts on your mindset to $1 million a month?
Yeah, honestly, it just comes down to just do a gut check, man. Literally go through your phone, look at your text messages, look at your DMs, look at who you're following and listening to on social media, right? Look at who you're hanging out with on the weekends and weeknights. It's a simple audit. It takes you 5 minutes, but a lot of us want to justify that audit. And we try and tweak it and give excuses. Well, this person and this, and been my best friend since high school and all this other bull crap. It's like, it doesn't mean you can't be friends with them. It just means that you need to be careful how much time and energy you put into them, because they're either going to either they're going to help you scale and grow, or they're not going to keep you where you are. They're actually going to pull you down because they don't want to scale. They don't want to grow. It doesn't mean they're bad people. It's what happens. So they're pulling you down because they don't want you to leave them and that circle. No, don't leave the circle, man. Think about it like a literal circle. Like, can't go to this circle where dudes are doing bigger, better, faster, stronger. Anybody's like, no, stay here, man. We like you. You're cool. Like, stay here and chill with us and hang out with us. They're going to naturally want to pull you back into that circle, right? Which is going to it's going to pull away from that growth. It's going to stunt, that level of growth in your business. And they're not going to let go easily, right? And that's where you have the breakups and you have the fights and you have people blocking you and deleting you from your phone and stuff like that. Dude, it's just part of the game. What happens? And then when you go to that next circle, guess what? The next circle isn't like open arms, like, hey, come on in. It has to be earned. It has to be earned by results. It has to be earned with energy and tenacity and grit and determination in order to get into that next circle. And it's not a social status, guys. It's not a social status. It is, hey, you're doing bigger things. I want to go and do bigger things. And those people, if you're showing that you truly want to with your words and your actions and your results that you want to, you will naturally get led into those bigger circles over time.
Yeah. And dude, I love why, like, one of our hearts, the reason we started the Facebook group was to create an online circle that people can come plug into and get growth from, right? That's where we're obviously live streaming this right now. I think BNI groups, I think our local, networking mixers and stuff like that. So I love that, dude. You know, what's funny about the mindset, like, we could probably just keep this episode going just on mindset for the next 30 minutes, but I know there's some other things that I know really added to your $1 million month. So, the second thing that I've noticed, Jason, that you do an insanely good job of, it's phase two in the book, Get Attention. You call it promote, brother. You want to touch on the promotion and your mindset with marketing, really, to get to $1 million a month?
Yeah. So Grant, like I said, I give a lot of praise. What I've learned to realize is be grateful for those that have helped you get where you want to go. So I always give shout outs. Like I said, I give it to you for the 10X rule book. This one goes out to Grant. He said, he was talking about events, because obviously Nick and I throw events. But he talked about just your business in general is promote. There should be nobody in your business that promotes your business more than you, plain and simple, right? There just shouldn't be.
But there's not going to be, though. That's the thing that I think is very important to understand is there's nobody coming to save you. There's nobody, there's no Wall Street advertising agency that's going to come down from the sky, create your content, be your voice, share your message. You got to believe in your product. That's one thing that I've noticed about you is you believe in what you're doing. You are the leader of State 48 Roofing, bro.
Yeah. Well, and that's what it comes down to, man, is that like, I even have a marketing team in a department, but at the end of the day, they help support me and they help compliment me. But at the end of the day, it's like, if I'm not promoting my business, who's going to, right? And am I going to bank on them doing that? And no, like, dude, this is at the end of the day, no one's come to save me. Right. And if you want to be like super blunt and transparent to the point here, I'm the one cutting $100,000 a week in payroll checks, right? Not our marketing team or marketing division. Like, that comes out of my bank account to go and fulfill that. That responsibility falls on me. So it's my job to be promoting my business every chance I get, every minute that I get, because my goal is to make sure that once you go into business, stay in business, right? And my other one is never let a check bounce. Not for supplies, not for materials, not for payroll, not for Big Ben, like nothing, right? Like that's been my biggest thing. So when it comes to promoting your business, that's like, you'll never very, very seldomly, like one hand per year, will you see me not wearing something, either Sexy Business Status or State 48 Roofing, either a hat, a shirt, maybe a truck in the background, something, right? Look at what we're doing right now, right? Mm-hmm. You got your Triumph and stuff. I got my Sexy Bat. Like, I literally was wearing this a second ago because I was in a State 48 meeting, mm-hmm. right? It's part of it. Why? Because this is your brand. Like, we want to wear like the Carhartts and the Ariats and the FUBUs and the Volcom Stones and like all that shit. That's great. But those dudes aren't cutting you checks. It's a social status. Make you feel good. Cool, I guess. right?
That, let's dive into, there's a couple of things that I got to pull out of your brain that you've given to me. You told me, you're like, dude, just own your own clothing brand. As stupid as this was, guys, if you're paying attention, if you believe in who you are, your brand, own it. I will never wear another man's brand on my chest or my back. And you taught me that. You're like, bro, I know you love surfing. I know you love Hurley and Ruka. Dude, be you, be triumphant, be sexy business status, be scale. And what's funny is you guys listening, watching right now can call up a local t-shirt guy, a local swag shop, and get five hats and five t-shirts made for a few $100. And you now have your own apparel and swag. And that to me was a mindset that truly changed my game. Another thing that I saw you do really, really well is you wrapped your vehicles right away. You wrapped your truck, you wrapped all of your company trucks. And I get comments, I know you do too, of how people see your trucks everywhere. A few thousand bucks to wrap your trucks. They are now billboards going in and out of communities, right? A lot of this stuff, guys, doesn't have to cost a lot of money. $5 t-shirt, $10 t-shirts, hats, $20, stuff like that, right? Very, very big, because that's what people then see as your brand on social media, right? I think your bio, your Facebook profile images, your cover images, and then this is leading me to the thing that I think you are, in my opinion, in my network, hands down the best at it. You are best at getting attention using your iPhone, your smartphone in your pocket. Will you touch on your rule of thumb when it comes to posting on social media?
Yeah, before I jump into that, two things. Right now, be very clear. Look, I'm drinking Liquid Death and Monster. Do you see them in my screen, though? No, why? The fuckers aren't cutting me a check, man. Plain and simple. I'm drinking them, but like I put it away. Now, I could have this sitting in the background of my shoulder, right? But the principle is still the same, is just understand the only other brands that I will represent are ones that have helped me grow or scale my business or supported my family. So guys that are in our Scale Mastermind, right? They give me hats and shirts and hoodies and whatnot. I will wear that because I want to support them and their brands. But yeah, like Coca-Cola, I mean, just example, right? The Volcom Stones, the Billabongs, the Hollisters, the whatever. Like, dude, it's not a thing for me because those dudes are not cutting me checks and they're not going to help me grow my business. They're just not. Now, you made a really good point, Nikki T, about you wrapping your vehicles. I tell us all the time, if you're going to go into business and you had the first $5,000, what would you do? Some would say, run it on ads. Some would say, go buy swag. Some would say, go buy business cards, do something. The first thing I would do, and they're about $4,000 to $5,000 now instead of three, is wrap your vehicle. Very first thing I would do, right? $4,000 to $5,000, wrap your vehicle and drive it around everywhere all day, every single day, because that thing will get you tens of thousands of eyeballs a day. A business card's not going to do that. Your social media in the beginning is not going to do that. Paid ads would, but you only have a brand, so people know who you are, right? And that's a whole different conversation. And that $5,000 goes really quick with that. So,
I got to work this in there. We had a story. You had shared this on one of our mastermind calls, our Friday coaching calls, and one of our students, he's a solar company, went and wrapped his truck the very next week. Within 48 hours of that truck being on the road, they landed an $80,000 solar deal. Mm-hmm. I just got to work this in there. Shameless plug, guys. If you're watching or tuning in, go to scale8book.com. Jason and I are on a heart to serve, and we actually just giving away free copies of the Scale ebook. If you go to scale8book.com, you'll hear about the importance of getting attention in phase two. And you'll hear that case study of how somebody landed 80K. Dude, I just think there's so many simple things that you do that I think are oversights, right? Like, I think the trucks, dude, you probably get 10,000 impressions a day with those trucks, dude, for free.
Bro, that's one truck. I have 13 now.
Right. But the point being this, especially if you're a contractor, a blue collar service-based business, you're in neighborhoods. Your truck is literally a billboard. Like, let's say the State 48 roofing trucks pull up to a home. You're literally telling those 500 neighbors on those streets coming in and coming out that, like, yo, we're doing this guy's roof. Whether you're a pool company, a pest control company, dude, why rock Ram or Chevy? They're not cutting you a check. Wrap your trucks. And I love how you touched on that. Dude, swag, cheap, inexpensive, easy. Wrap your vehicles, huge, huge, huge. Unless you're an online business, I get that, right? You work from home. And then the third thing, dude, is getting attention with your smartphone. Grant Cardone says you either have a smartphone or a dumb phone. You're psychotic about using your telephone to get attention for free. Bro, unload on this.
Yeah, so that's what it comes down to, guys. When you really understand that everybody has an iPhone, right? You already are paying your $150 a month to Verizon or T-Mobile or AT&T or whoever, right? And you have a free platform, sorry, free platforms, plural, that don't charge you anything. Like, imagine if we had to pay for social media. Imagine if we had to pay Mark Zuckerberg $100 a month or $1,000 a month just to use his platform to be on there. Dude, it's free. That's the most craziest part. But what happens is we underestimate how easy it is to promote our business, how often we should promote our business, right? And what we should promote in our business and call out our audience. And that's what I do. I've been practicing it since 2010. I've been doing it for 14 years. I really didn't see any value of it till about a decade. Isn't that crazy? I was doing it organically just because I thought it would work and thought it makes sense. And I had a place to put my passion out into the world of like, I love roofing. I love what I do. I love where I work. I love who I work with. I want to help people in Arizona do roofs, right? And when you do that and you do it and you're consistent with it, you start getting momentum, credibility, and rapport. And then omnipresence starts to kick in. When they think of an author coach, they think of Coach Nikki T, they think of roofing, they think of Jason, they think of, you know, consulting, they think of sexy business status, they think of a badass mastermind with blue collar guys in Arizona, they think of scale, right? That's what it comes down to. But I'm telling you, if you would just check your ego and realize that it doesn't matter about the zit on your nose or your makeup not being done or the background looks stupid or it's loud, it does not matter. It doesn't. The point is you need to be consistent on social media. You need to be constantly promoting your business. You can do it via reels. You can do it via stories. You can do it via lives on TikTok. You can do all those things and do it a lot. 10X your efforts, 10X your actions. Okay. Who's going to win? Simple math, guys. Who's going to win? If Nick posts once a day, if he's another roofer that's local and he posts once a day and I post four times a day, who's going to win? Me. It's simple math. I'm going to smoke him.
We got to touch on this. So here's the thing you guys will find about our show is we try to give you as much value as we possibly can. When we talk about this, Jason and I run this as a 1-2 combination. You have to be growing your audience. I asked Jason this yesterday. I go, yo, what's a tip for a business owner? And he goes, new eyeballs. Check this out, guys. Grab your phone. Go to Facebook, Instagram, TikTok. Friend request. Proactively reach out to people and add 10 to 20 people per day that are your target demographic. That's going to grow you. If you have 1,000 friends on Facebook, go get a couple thousand more as fast as possible, dude.
And that's what it comes down to is a lot of us, we focus so much on the likes and the shares and the comments. Dude, it doesn't matter. It does not matter right now. It just doesn't. What happens is you need to be consistently putting yourself out there and posting it over and over and over again. Don't look at the likes, the shares, the hearts. It does not matter right now. It doesn't. Nicotine, how many hundreds of these have we done? And we get like four eyeballs, two or three comments, whatever. Like it does not matter. But guess what? When you do that once a day for 14 years, guess what happens? You all of a sudden have a freaking 7-figure coaching business and an 8-figure roofing business.
Well, I think
that didn't happen overnight.
No, and I think there's a psychology that we're trying to communicate to you here is if you need to grow your business and you're not where you want to be, there is nothing more critical, meaning danger, Will Robinson, all hands on deck, the building is on fire to generate new leads. Jason, I talk to a lot of business owners. I know you do too. Think about this right now. Most people that tune in are kind of in a high ticket sales business, $1,000 or more, right? If you were to have an extra 4 to 5 qualified clients right now, customers to work with, most business owners, that would be the biggest month they've ever had in their entire life. So how do you get an extra 4 to 5 qualified business owners? You lead generate. But then I talk to business owners and I'm like, bro, what are you doing with your time then? If you have a free phone in your pocket and you can do this, click, take a photo, take a selfie, take a video and post that, your rule of thumb is post 4 times per day. And I think it like a lot of people hear that and go, well, dude, I don't have the time for that. Well, if you don't have the customers to work with, what else are you spending the time on? There is nothing more important than using a free telephone in your pocket to get attention. And here's what's interesting is a lot of people think there are these long drawn out videos. We have a trick question here in the program. How long does it take to record a 90-second video? 90 seconds.
And so 30 seconds.
We believe in the done is better than perfect. How long does it take to take a selfie? It takes literally 30 seconds, dude. It's so funny. Like I put up a photo. That's a 15-year-old photo. I did this throwback to me outside of my first real estate office. You saw it. Shit went viral. 100+ comments, 200+ likes. And I was like, dude, that photo was sitting on an old folder on my computer. That was like a backup from my Mac 10 years ago. The point that we're trying to get to here with Jason's $1 million month, he believes in promote. And there's not a day that goes by that you don't have 4 to 5 stories and 4 to 5 posts out. Dude, I love this. Remember when you hit 6,000 posts on Instagram? Do you want to tell that story real fast?
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm doing the math right now. Literally, if I started, so 365, simple math, guys, right? One post a day, not four, one post a day, 365 per year, right? Times 14 years, that's 5,110 posts. So a little bit, a fraction more than one a day. Is that insane? We think it's 6,000. We're like, oh my gosh, that's so many. Holy cow. No, it's not. It's just a matter of being consistent and doing it, right? What'd you get away from the 6,000 posts?
Oh, dude, I just think you're just so consistent, right? There's not a day that goes by. And dude, I actually want to tie this in. I think this is so cool. We had a comment come through and they said they're doing 15,000 and 19,000 a month, still a solo operated owner and need to break through. Before we leave this promote phase, dude, give this person some advice and tie this back into the promote. What advice would you have to them doing 15K, 20K, trying to get above that or step out of the solo owner? Dude, give them some advice on the promote right here.
Yeah, it's very simple. You have capacity issues and you're never going to break through it unless you hire somebody. Plain and simple. That's what it comes down to, right? Which means if you're doing 15, 19, what does that mean? That you're getting attention, you have some sort of business, you probably have some sort of repeat customers, right? And you have your content is somewhat there to be able to do $15,000, $19,000. Those are just facts. I don't even know what you do. It doesn't even matter. The point is that you're never going to get, do you know anybody that's doing, you know, $15,000 or $19,000 a day that's a solo operator? No, it's just not a thing because you need a team in order to grow and scale. Anything worth doing, Grant Cardone, 700 employees, right? Andy Elliott has 70 or 80 employees right now. Like in my roofing business, $10 million a year, going on 12 right now or 13. Is it 79 or 80 employees right now, right? You're going to hit capacity issues. There's only so many hours in a day and you can only do so much until you can hire and delegate those tasks in order to go to the next level.
For that, I think that's first thing. I think the second thing that I would share here is go focus on getting a few more leads that'll get you over that hump. Focus more on the marketing systems, whether that's a paid traffic campaign. Finding a duplicatable lead source to this question would change the game. I know this for every business owner right now. Oftentimes we're grinding out the organic stuff and I'm all for that. We're talking about that. I would focus on finding one lead source that'll get you over that hump that then will allow you to hire out, whether that's a salesperson, whether that's a marketing coordinator, whether that's an office manager. Focus on the lead generation and the marketing of stuff, whether that's a lead source, invested in some paid traffic, some billboards, all the above, dude. And that transition us, man, to, I know a huge thing of you getting to $1 million per month is the hiring. Dude, you have a rule of thumb, you know, a swear by Jason. He makes us raise our right hand. Brother, what are your thoughts on this third framework here?
Very simple. Who are you hiring? Why are you not hiring? What position do you need to be hiring in right now? We all know. Everybody close your eyes. Dead serious. Close your eyes real quick. Close your eyes. Okay, in my business, what is my biggest pain point? What hurts the most? What it takes the longest to do? What's the most stressful in my life, in my work life? If I could give somebody to you for $50,000 or $60,000 a year, $1,000 a week, and put that person into your business, how much happier would your life be? How much better would your relationship with your wife and your kids be because you could spend that time with them? How much more money could you be making because you could hire and delegate those tasks to that person to where you can work on things that can move the needle? Now open your eyes. Go hire that person. But you have to have the mindset, going back to the first of the four that we're talking about today, you have to have the mindset that people will help you get to where you want to go. Zig Ziglar. Now we talk about this outside of business, right? When you help enough people get what they want in life, you'll get what you want in life, right? I butchered it, but something along those lines. What about inside of our business? What if we brought in and hired people to help them get what they want in their life, that in return, I would get what I want in my life? What I want in my life, I don't want to have to go run calls at 8, 9, 10 o'clock at night throwing out tarps. I don't have to go run and look at 15 roofs a day in order to hit my quota and get the sales. I don't want to have to go and pull 7 dump trailers by myself and go and start at 3:30 in the morning. Cool. I don't want to do that. So what do I need? That's a pain point. What is the pain point in your business? Okay, I'm going to hire a driver, give him a truck, and say, now you go move these trailers. In return, I'll give you X number of dollars. I'll work with you. I'll help you build your, you know, build a life that you want and help you hit your goals. Okay, check. I don't want to go get on 15 roofs a day. Well, how about I get on 5 and you get on 10? I'd love to get on 10. We can both have awesome lifestyles. But now this guy can now make 6 figures working for me. Boom, done. Right? So we need to figure out those pain points. Always be hiring. And the other part too, going back to promote that you just mentioned, Nikki T, about, you said, hey, go find another lead source, the guy that's doing 15 to 19K. Before you even do that, you want to, like, we got to grab a good solid pair of balls to make that happen. In my opinion, hire that person first before you go find that second source. You want to know why? Because you're going to have to find that second source.
That's the thing about you that I really admire, and I think you make me and our entire tribe better, is you say to throw your wallet over the fence and go hire that person, right? Before the lead source exists, because that's going to put your back against the wall. It's going to make you uncomfortable, and you're going to have to go feed that person. Dude, Jace, great question just came through on the comments. I got to ask you, brother. They're doing about 100K per month as a painting company. I wear a lot of office hats, totally can relate to that. The estimates are the driving force of the business. I'm sure you get that, right? The invoices and bidding out jobs. Jason, is it better to hire somebody green and train them to be a sales rep, or hire somebody with experience? What's your thoughts on this, my guy?
Honestly, it doesn't matter. A lot of us will just trip over this comment. I hear it all the time. Oh, I don't want to hire a green person. I got to train them. Well, then you just suck as a leader. I'm very transparent. So if I hurt your feelings, it's okay. But like, it's very simple. Either I like hiring people from scratch. By the way, out of my 8 sales reps, not one of them came from roofing. Eric, that just did $200,000 last month and did $1 million in sales in 7 months, was a freaking nurse. He was doing the mobile IV shit. Nothing about roofing, nothing about sales, did $1 million and did $200,000 last month. Okay. The point I'm trying to make is it doesn't matter if they're green or if they're experienced, you know, tweak it, compliment it, and go from there. Right. So it doesn't matter which one it is. What happens, we'll get so stuck on this thought of like, should I hire new guys? Should I get existing guys? It doesn't matter. Just hire somebody, figure out where their skills are, right? Figure out where their strengths and their weaknesses are, and then be the badass owner, the badass leader, and the badass trainer that you need to be in order to help them get to where you want to go. I like green guys because you can train them to do anything from scratch. They don't have bad habits. They don't have bad work ethic in that field, in that industry specifically. And you can mold them into exactly what you want. Also on the flip side, someone that has experience, my sales manager, CP3, sold $3.7 million in roofing before he came over and worked for me. Guess what? Do you think I need to train him on how to sell? A little bit, right? Got to tweak some stuff, always be learning. But the dude can freaking pull out 300 G's a month in sales. That's gangster, right? So either one of those, figure out what it is. Here's the catch though. Most people won't want to admit this. If you're doing $100,000 a month, or you're doing, you know, let's say $1 million or less in revenue and sales, you got to double check your culture. You got to double check that winning mentality. You got to double check that positivity in your business. Is your business somewhere where people would want to come work for you? If the answer is no, then you're probably gonna have to go hire a greenie, because somebody that's in your industry and you're not wheeling and dealing and making deals and going crazy, they're probably not gonna be turned on to your business compared to somebody else. Like, let's say I own a $10 million painting company. I'm gonna have my shit dialed in, right? And so it's gonna be more easy for me to bring somebody that's from the same industry that wants to come work for me compared to a greenie. So you might need to do a greenie, but you always gotta focus on your mindset, right? Focus on your culture, focus on the winning mentality, and show them that you, where you want to go, and verbalize where you want to go, when you want to go, when you want to get there, how you're going to get there, and how they can play a part in getting where you want to go.
Well, I think this actually ties in the first two things we talked about, is they're going to follow the leader, right? The charismatic leader of the business. So what is your mindset? And then the second thing is, are you noticeable and do you stand out on social media? Like, are you the type of person that's getting so much attention that people want to work for you? Jason, we've hired sales reps from one story post on Instagram. Hey, we're looking to hire who's got somebody. So when you've created a company culture and you've established yourself as a brand that people want to follow, want to work for, you can get them through just getting attention on social media, which I think is pretty cool, by throwing up a post. Hey, we're hiring, going to your past clients. Dude, there's a really cool comment that I want to really get your thoughts on.
Sure.
Says, thanks, guys. I'm in the home inspection field. You're right. Need to just do it and bring in help. I know this is a question that we get a lot because people see you at 80 plus employees. They see you a decade ahead, right? Can you just touch on this right now for that solopreneur that's watching and listening, that's probably doing 100, 150K, 250K of revenue, and they're getting, it's hard to relinquish control, dude. I get it, to that first person. Yeah. Do you want to touch on that mindset of making that first hire?
Yeah, the first hire is probably the most terrifying. It just is, right? Especially if you come from an industry where it's mostly like owner-operator related and it's not scalable. On the flip side, I'm looking at the notes here. He's a home inspector. Now, I work with two of the biggest home inspectors in the state of Arizona that have 8 to 11 home inspectors. So I know your business is scalable, but 98% of your industry are a one- or two-man show. They just are. You do 1 to 2 inspections a day, you know, $300 to $500 each or somewhere on those lines. You do 2 a day, write up your reports and you're good. And you do 5, you know, you do 10 a week and you write off into the sunset. But at some point in time, if you're good, which sounds like you're good and you're cranking and you're doing, you're going to get more famous. You're going to get more clients. You're going to get more referrals. And so what's going to happen is you either have to turn them away because you only got so many hours in a day, my guy, right? Plain and simple. You only have so many hours in a day, whether you're single or married, kids, doesn't matter. And you got, do not ever neglect yourself, right? And your personal development. So you can only do 2, maybe 3 a day, then you're jeopardizing your quality, right? So if you're doing 2 a day and you're maxed out and you can only do 10 a week, right? Or 11 a week or 12 a week max, but you're getting 15 requests, you're getting 18 leads in a week. You're like, oh my gosh, you have to turn people down. You don't ever want to turn down business. You love money, right? You want to help people. So if you love money and you want to help people, what you have to do is you just have to understand, bring in somebody part-time. Don't be scared to bring in somebody part-time. What if they did, you know, what if they did 1 a day for you? What if they did 1 every few days for you? What if they did, you know, 2 on a Friday so you could get all your shit together and all the billing, all the back-end stuff, get your marketing dialed in, and you have an entire 8 or 10 hour day to work on your business and not in your business? Because when you're doing home inspections, you're in attics, you're on roofs, right? You're looking at foundations and landscaping and lights and all that, you know, all that bullshit. But you can't be promoting your business and recruiting and growing your business and doing marketing and being at events and be in an attic at the same time. It's literally impossible. So what happens is you got to understand that that person, that one other home inspector that you bring in, don't think of how much revenue they're going to take away by you paying them throughout that inspection. Look at the opportunity for you to get your life back, to you to get freedom back, you to get time back to grow your business and spend quality time with either yourself and or your family. Do it slow. Do 1 at a time. Do it part-time for a little bit. And then as you start to generate more leads and more revenue, you can bring that person on as a full-time person. People in your industry, we always say, hey, look, the guy that's doing $100,000 a month in painting, go find the dude that's doing $100,000 a week in painting, right? Go find the dude that's doing $10 million a year in painting and figure out what he's doing. Because if it's in your same industry, in the same area, with the same type of clients, they're just 10xing your efforts. That's all it is, right? Like I said, my buddy Paul, my buddy John Tyler, those guys are doing like 80 inspections a week, not 10. Well, in order to 8x, you have to 8x yourself. What are you doing to 8x yourself? That means hiring, training, and then you eventually scale and get to there. Well, I can't do 100. We average 80 to 100 roof inspections a week. Imagine me getting, that's if Monday through Friday, that's 20 a day. It's literally not even physically possible. Like, you can't do it. I think the most ever it was like 13 or so. And it was like 14 hour days. One, not kill myself, but like it sucked, right? Didn't get to see my kids, my wife, left at 4 a.m., got home at 8 p.m., still had to write up all that shit, and it's a nightmare. What I realized is that when you can hire and train and delegate X, that sale, that production team, right, whatever that is, you realize you hiring is the best thing that will ever happen to your business. A lot of us are terrified to do it. Do it, jump, right? Throw your wallet over the fence is our analogy that we use all the time. Throw that wallet over the fence, make that commitment. And once you do it, I swear my life, your life will get so much better, and see employees as assets, not liabilities.
dude, I think we could spend hours on this topic, full-blown, like, three-day conferences on this hiring and scaling topic. Sure. But before we leave this subject, I want to just kind of unpack what I'm hearing you say. Did everybody notice how Jason didn't talk about, like, oh, to grow my business, I just have to work more? He never once mentioned that. What he mentioned was, the time that I have, I'm going to leverage this into other people. What you were talking about is, who can I partner with? Who can I surround myself with that can help me do the lifting? And I thought that that was so, so critical. Like, as we're talking about your $1 million month, I think it's very important to understand, you weren't sitting on a laptop by yourself. You have a whole crew of people, very talented, awesome, loving, hardworking people, and you've surrounded yourself with the who. Not like the how will come, right? It's like, who could I partner with? Who could I bring into my culture? And yes, creating a company culture is a different story for a different day. I think that that's really important as we're dissecting your psychology for $1 million month. Who was a really big part of that, dude? So let's recap before we get into the fourth one and finish up. Dude, number one, the mindset of $1 million month. Two, that you got to get that attention, promote. As you just said, always be hiring. And I think what we learned from that was, a lot of people tuning in, that very first hire is going to be a big critical step there. I think for a lot of people, it's going to be huge. And then the fourth thing, dude, I know you talked about your KPIs of $1 million month. Hit that out of the park, brother.
Yeah, so what it comes down to with the $1 million month via KPIs, right? Key performance indicators. I want you guys to know that this is how it works, okay? I want you to know this how it works. You got to do the math, okay? Business is math. Plain and simple. Brandon Dawson teaches that all the time. When you can understand that business is math, and if you can know what you need to do to get where you want to go, then it's already lined up for you, right? You need to know how many appointments you need to run a day in order to, whatever your closing ratio is. So how many leads did you close? So let's throw it out there. Let's say you run 4 appointments a day. Out of those 4, you close one of them. Well, 1 divided by 4 is 25%, right? So out of those 4, if you have a 25% closing ratio, that job that you sold, how much did that job cost? Well, that job was, let's say, example for me, $7,000 is our average ticket. So our average job is 7. So it's 7,000 and 1 out of 4 gets me there. So technically, the opportunity that I had for the day is 28,000 for the day. I only closed 1 out of 5, which means I'm only gifted or earned 7 out of the $28,000. Okay, cool. And then figure out what your goals are, right? How much do you want to do per week, per month, per quarter, per year as yourself or as a business, as a team? And then do the math from there, right? And in order to do that, in order to get where you want to go, you need to look at more roofs, sell more houses, right? Do more inspections and figure out what that is. And by doing that, so you need to increase your volume of leads. So increase the volume of leads. And then from there, you have your closing ratio. So, because if you go look at 1,000 houses and you only close 1 or 2, then you got a problem, right? Mm-hmm. But if you close, the more houses you close, the more money you make. Why? Because your average ticket is 7,000, or it doesn't matter if you're high ticket or low ticket sales. It's all a math game, literally multiplication and division. You don't need the TI-82 bullshit calculators we had in high school and junior college, right? You don't need those. Literally, the iPhone on my phone is what I do math with my eight-figure business.
Oh, I know how you do math, bro. Trust me. I get it, man. We on that iPhone calculator, bro. Dude, I love that because, again, I think a lot of business owners tuning in right now, if they had an extra 2 or 3 qualified people, their game would change, right? Like for you in your business, let's assume I'm a sales rep that works for you. Your average roof's what, 10 to 15 grand, right? 2 more of those per month for a sales rep would be life-changing. You know, a real estate agent listening, 1 more sale, an extra 12 grand, life-changing. And so for you, it's just simple of, let me ask you this question. This is huge. How many appointments do you have to go on invoices to get a closed roof? Is it 25%? What are you guys shooting right now?
Like 31-ish.
So you need to go on three bids to get 10,000, let's just call it 10 grand roof, right? Mm-hmm. So then the simple math is, well, how many leads do I need to get 1 appointment? I need enough leads to triple that to get 3 appointments to get 1 close sale. And I know that that's simplistic, but that's the way that you look at your business. And I love that. I think there's so much to learn from your psychology of, this isn't emotion. It is truly just, we need to bid more roofs. We need more people coming into the funnel that want roofs to bid the roofs to get more sales. And it's just a volume and a numbers game at that point to scale up.
Yeah. So the second tier. So once you do that, because once you join a mastermind and we roll through that shit, that's how it works. One of our very first appointments that we do is that, right? Is you figure out what your KPIs are. So you need to know those numbers. If you don't know those numbers, you don't know where you're at or where you need to go or how you're going to get there. The second tier is once you know how many appointments you need to run, how many deals you need to close, and what your average ticket is, then the next one is, right? And then obviously know your profit from that job, also a huge thing, right? The other part is you need to know what people you need to hire in order to fulfill that. So if I'm only running, 500 leads a year and I need to do 1500 leads a year because I want to double or triple my business, cool. Well, guess what? If you're already maxed out and stressed out and like overworked at 500, but you need to 1500, you're never going to hit your goals unless you do what? Hire and delegate those other 500 or 1,000 leads.
And then the second thing is you have to have enough leads to fill that. It's so funny. Somebody asked me this question. You know this because this is obviously how we met. I used to sell 200 homes per year. My biggest month in real estate, I sold a home a day. 32 homes in 1 month. I was pretty stoked about that, right? And somebody asked me, he's like, well, dude, like, how did that happen? I was like, well, we could have predictable lead sources. So for me, I could go invest $5,000 into this marketing campaign and it would bring me back $100,000 of revenue. You don't have to be the sharpest spoon in the drawer to be like, okay, I just need to turn this up a little bit more, right? And I love how you're doing that is, one, you got to have the staff to fill it, but two, you have to have the leads to fill the staff, right? And so at the end of the day, if you want to do more, you're going to need more leads to do it. And really holding your lead generation accountable too, I think is important. And I know that's not part of this, but I think it does go into the KPIs is you have to have enough, you have to have X amount of leads to get X amount of ups and appointments, X amount of appointments to get X amount of deals. And like at the end of the day, if you fix the lead flow for most people, I think that's the spigot that turns everything on, because remove the lead generation out of this, you got a bunch of hungry employees with trucks and nowhere to go. And you're just hanging out in office having burritos, bro.
Big time. And that's the thing. So that's why like one of the four was promote.
Yeah.
Right. Because it's very simple. Like you remember how I didn't say, oh, you need to know your closing ratios, your ticket. What I say first, you need to know how many leads you're running. Right. And that's the biggest thing is because if you can fix leads are like leads fix everything. They just do, right? They give you more opportunity. And then as you go, you can increase your closing ratios. You can increase your closing tickets, right? As you do that. But if you don't have a lead, you can't increase jack shit, right? And so you can't have a higher ticket or increase your closing ratios if you don't have a lead to go run in order to increase either of those two metrics.
I love that.
That's what comes next. So that's why promoting. I know from last year, from this year, we did 5,000 leads last year. We need to do 6,000 to get to our goal for this year, right? So, okay, another 1,000 leads, X number closing ratio, right? Gets us to this number of deals at this ticket. Okay, cool. That means I need to hire how many more sales guys? One or two? Okay, how many more crews do I need to do that many more roofs? One or two or three or five or whatever. Or maybe you're fat. Maybe you're fat in a certain area and you can take on that. Like, for example, my production team, we can do another 2 or 3 million. We don't have to hire anybody, but I need to hire one or two more sales reps to fulfill those extra 1,000 leads. So that's what it comes down to, is always adapting, always adjusting, knowing those numbers, looking at them. That's why having a CRM is a no-brainer and an absolute must if you want to grow a business. You have to have a CRM that will help calculate all that stuff. It throws you all of your metrics, everything you need. I can print out reports, pop out reports in a matter of seconds, weekly, quarterly, daily, per rep, per crew, per team. And it helps you do that. And then that way, you know, because if you're listening to this call or listening to this replay, you want to do something big in life, right? And when you have these, we call them BHAGs, right? The big, hairy, audacious goals. Mm-hmm. When you have these crazy big ass goals, you got to know how much freaking effort you got to put into that shit. And by knowing that, knowing how much effort you need to put into it, it's very simple. Either are you going to put in the work or you're not. You go from there.
Hey, brother, we just had a great question as you started that. What CRM do you use and what do you recommend?
Oh, Jordan, what up, dog? So the CRM that I use is called AccuLinks. But the best part is that in 2023, now this was like 1995 or even 2005, different conversation. But there are CRMs that are industry specific. So in my example, AccuLinks is the number one roofing CRM in America, right? And I actually got it from one of my buddies that I used to work for back in the day, and he was using that. He did 7 million. I'm like, the company I worked at before only did 3 to 5. So I'm like, well, this guy, this CRM can get me there. So whatever industry you're in, go find out who the big dogs are and who are using them. I don't think there's any one in particular that's going to blow your brains out. Also, pay attention to how much of that CRM you're using. I know a lot of us are using that CRM 25 to 35% of its true capacity. And so getting on those weekly calls, on those weekly coaching calls with somebody from your CRM, YouTube videos, there's a whole nother universe of learning that you can do, just like Kajabi, right? Like you're a Kajabi master, but even then you're at 50% of what that beast can really put out. And so you just got to understand that a CRM is way more capable than you are, but you just need to put in the time, the energy, and the effort in order to get the true efficiency out of that CRM. A lot of us talk shit about one, but we don't put the time and the energy in it to get what we need out of it. Simple YouTube videos and or hopping on a call with some of their trainers. I know people that pay a monthly membership to get coaching, like, hey, that next level for reports and ways to track stuff, whether it's lead flow or autogen or whatever. And that's what I would do. So it's, I would pick a CRM. Find the dudes that are doing 10x what you're doing. Call them or find out or figure out what CRM they're using. It's really not that hard. You can probably figure it out. If I had a week, I could figure out what any company, any CRM they use, and use that. And you know, they can scale. They're 10 times the size you are in that same industry. Just go find out that CRM. It's going to cost you a couple bucks. It's not cheap, right? But throw down on it. And then you have we bought a big CRM on purpose that was way bigger. The CRM that we bought, we were only doing $1 million in revenue when we bought it. So we did Google, Nick knows this. We did Google Calendar and the Excel spreadsheet for our first $1 million. Well, that was our first 5 months in business. And eventually Jory and I were like, shit, like we need something like more legit other than just QuickBooks and a Google Calendar. And that's what, but we bought this CRM based off of where we want to go. And our goal was to do $10 million in revenue from day one. Our goal is to do 10 mil. So what we did is we bought a CRM that was capable of being able to produce $10 million from leads to production, to, you know, tracking, to billing, to all, you know, ARs, to doing all that stuff. So get a CRM that you can build into, that you can grow into and not grow out of.
Yeah, I got to work this in because it is wild, man. I gotta give him some love. He said, what CRM do I recommend for agents? And I think this applies to everybody listening. Dial into what the hell I'm about to say. Pick one and learn everything about it. The big question we get asked a lot, like I build sales funnels and stuff. Do I do ClickFunnels or do I do Go High Level? Do I do Kajabi? Do I do Kartra? Do I do Lead Pages? Here's what I want you to do. Pretty much in the time that we're in, a CRM will help you lead capture, get a phone number, get an email address, follow up with people, send emails, send text messages. They all do it. Find one and go all in on it and don't deviate from the plan. 2 years ago, I called Jason. I said, hey, I'm done. I know enough about Kajabi to know enough. It does what we want it to do. It works. Let's go all in on it. And we don't have a conversation about any other CRM. Jordan, to your question, I chose Follow Up Boss. And again, this is 6-7 years ago. This was what we chose. It did everything that I needed it to do up to like probably 90%, 95%. It was perfect. We went all in on it and we had no more conversations. The way that I look at this question, dude, is what's the best gym in Phoenix, Arizona right now, Jason? Is it Lifetime Fitness, Anytime Fitness, 24-Hour Fitness, Planet Fitness? They all have treadmills. They all have gym weights. They all have machines, right? They're just a different color. I think people love to spend time on this conversation because they want to eliminate the fact of actually generating leads or following up with leads. So, brother, I would research all the ones. I would go through a week of demos. Look at every, for anybody, no matter what business you're in, I would go demo everything that's available in your market. Find the one that accomplishes pretty much everything that you want. Then go learn everything about it and use it. The gym that is the best in Phoenix, Arizona is the gym that you actually show up to. And so I would just find one, then have your whole team. Because what's going to happen is no matter what you're doing, right? And I think this applies to everything you just talked about, Jason. Should I post on TikTok or Instagram or Facebook? Find one, go all in on it and get momentum. Start learning it, getting results with it, right? And I think this applies to email marketing, text message marketing, funnel builders. Take one, go all in on the sucker, start making it work, get momentum. You're going to learn more by moving forward, meaning a bicycle is easier to navigate once it's up and moving, if that makes sense. And so find the one that meets pretty much all of your needs. Nothing's going to be perfect, and make that your thing. And again, the analogy that we have, I called Jason. I said, dude, we're all in on Kajabi for our business. This is our CRM. Let's go learn everything about it. And I don't have to spend time researching anymore, because we know it generates leads. We know it converts leads. We can collect payment from it. We have sales funnels there. And that's that choice right there. So, Jason, in summary, dude, your $1 million month, I'm proud of you. I'm very proud of you watching what you've built. And that's just 1 month. You'll hit it again. But let's recap, dude. Number one was mindset to $1 million month. Go back and watch that again. Promote, promote, promote. Always be hiring and hire your first employee, and then know your numbers, know your metrics, know your KPIs. Is there anything else you'd like to add? As somebody that's a business owner out there really trying to scale, dude, talk to that person right now. What's some advice for them as they're trying to hit that eighth phase to scale?
Dude, shameless plug, dude, find a coach, find a mentor. I don't know how else to say it. Like, you can do it, and you can beat your head at the 2x4, and you can struggle and trip and fall along the way, or just find someone that has already been where you want to go. Call them, ask them if they're willing to share some insight with you, and then get someone that's going to hold you accountable. Because even if you go to the masterminds, there's no accountability. You watch YouTube videos, there's no accountability, right? You listen to audibles, there's no accountability. You'll get the ideas, you'll get the mindset, you'll get jacked up, but there's a huge, I call it separation season, right? There's a huge difference from being jacked up and motivated and listening to the books and the YouTube videos and the masterminds, and then actually producing results, where I can show you on my CRM right now that we did 1.1 last month. We're going to do another million this month. I'm doing it over and over and over again. But I have people that keep me accountable. I have people that call me and say, hey, where are you at? Hey, why did you not do this? Why are you not growing here? Why are you not doing this? Why are you not doing that? Right? And we get to do that with our scale people as well too. I just had a Kyle in here literally for an hour, him and his team. Brought him in. Why are you not doing this? Why are you not doing this? Why are you not doing this? You're killing it here. Keep doing this, right? Remember, he did his 30-day cash, his 30-day challenge, and freaking like did the most revenue, like new revenue in his entire business in 9.5 years of being in business. But that's because I held him accountable, right, to do the 30-day challenge that came from you that I implemented with him via social media. And he raked like $50,000 in additional revenue in one freaking month. But you have to find a mentor, find a coach that will hold you and keep you accountable.
Hey, I got to ask you this, because I think this is the perfect way to end this episode. I have one. I'm going to let you go first.
Okay.
Jordan asked, what was the defining moment of your career up to this point? Can you look back on the time? Was there one thing that you feel you started really just turning up the heat on? Can you peg something like that?
Yeah. So, have you ever seen a friendly dog walking down the street? Yeah, you're a dog guy, right?
Yeah.
And then have you ever seen that same dog get cornered, put into a corner? Mm. What happens to that dog? What happens to that dog?
Freaks out.
Freaks out. Bite you, right? But before, he was on a leash walking down to the dog park, nice as ever. You put him in a corner, he'll freaking rip your face off. That's what happened to me. I got put in a corner, and I got put in a bad position. I had to jump, and I was terrified. So I left my uncle's roofing company. Wanted to buy in, said no, okay, not a problem. And I went and worked for another roofing contractor, not starting my own, just doing outside sales. From that jump to that jump was more terrifying than me starting my own business. Because at that point, I had to realize that I was the person, I control my destiny. I had my own personal brand. I had my identity. And I was told I didn't have either of those, and I wasn't going to be anything, and I wasn't going to be anyone. I didn't have leadership skill sets. I didn't have CEO or ownership personalities. You know the story, right? I was told that. I was put in a corner, and I freaking gnawed and scratched and bit and fought my way out of that, and I was terrified to leave. And I did that, and I did $500,000 under the table. I did $1.8 million outside sales on my own, self-lead generated, in order to bootstrap and start State 48 Roofing. That is now a $10 million a year business that I don't have to, that's literally turnkey without me having to touch it. But I got put in that position. I got put into that corner. I was a nice friendly dog. I was a little Prince Teddy walking down the road, but I had somebody at one point in time, they put me in that corner And I flipped my shit and I got mad and I took it personally. And then I realized my true potential. And then I blossomed like a flower, as that dumb as that sounds. I saw my true potential of what I'm capable of. And within 5 years to that day, over $30 million in revenue, 80 employees, $1 million a month. And I'm actually grateful that I was that dog that got put in that corner, because I was a friendly dog. But people, friendly dogs, like, oh, friendly dogs. But guess who gets the real attention? The dogs that get put in the corner, they flip their shit. Those are the ones that make it on YouTube, right? So yeah.
I got a moment for you. And I think a lot of our users can really learn from this. See, it's funny. People look at you today and they see $1 million months, Jason Von Payne, author, speaker, we're throwing conferences. They don't see you 4 years ago. And for me, there's one defining moment, I believe, in your path as an entrepreneur. We were at a mastermind, and to give you guys the context, I had invited 20 of my closest friends, my peers, my tribe in. We had rented a house on the beach, this big mansion. We all split the cost on it. And 20 of us flew in for 2 days of business building, masterminding, sharing ideas, and collaborating, which, it's funny, that's how Sexy Business Status was born. We just didn't have a name for it. The whole tribe was born. The whole family was born. And we're all there, and nobody can find Jason. And it's like, where's JVP? He was up in his room sending invoices and bids out for roofs, which is how he makes money. It's funny. We got that exact question earlier, and I think there's so much to relate here. And the whole group had sat him down and said, bro, like, you can't find somebody. Like, we're having $1 million conversations in the living room right now. You're up there sending out invoices, which is all part of your business. But could you find somebody to do that? And I think your wheel started turning of, wow, who could fill this role for me while I can be the visionary for my business? And I don't think you get to $1 million a month if you're still hacking away at a keyboard every day sending bids out. Not saying you're over it or you're not better than them, but your job as the CEO is to go drive in leads, to focus on systems, to focus on power partners and building relationships and driving the business, whereas somebody could be the invoice person, right? And I think that for me, looking at even the past 4 to 5 years for you, knowing you, I think was a huge critical move of your first hire. And I think a lot of us can relate to it, because the vast majority tuning in are probably at that 100 grand, 200 grand, 250K, and they're looking to hire that first person or take on that new ads campaign, buy their first billboard. And it's a scary transition. And I think you leaned into that. Any thoughts on that moment?
Yeah, it's either do or don't, but yeah. don't freaking sit on the sidelines.
Right.
Like, forget, like, pick it, dude. Like, jump, like, don't sit on the fence. Either go backwards or forwards. But like, if you're going to fall backwards and get on that side, or fall forwards and fall on that side. But sitting on the fence, you're never going to make a move. And then my thing is, like, I would prefer to make that move and fall and bite and scratch and get scuffed up and beat up, knowing that, because now at that point I have a learning experience. I know what not to do in the future.
Yeah.
If you don't ever make that jump, you don't ever make that leap, you're never going to know what that experience could have turned out to. Right. And so that would be my sense, is like, dude, yeah, no matter what, just, but if your gut tells you, trust your gut. If your gut tells you, you need to hire this person, it doesn't matter what your bank account looks like or what your business looks like. If you need to know, you need to hire and delegate something to someone, do it, because you should have done it probably 2, 3, 4 months ago.
Yeah.
And you're still just pushing it down the road. It's never going to fix itself. Right. It's never going to get better. And so, like, bite the bullet, kick the can, do it, move on, and you'll find a way to pay for it. Just kind of like buying a brand new car, right? You go, your payment goes from $300 a month to $700 a month. You're like, dude, I just doubled my payment. Holy shit, I'm going to make that happen. And something says, just do it. And you buy it, and guess what? You've never missed a payment. And all of a sudden, you found another $400 a month extra.
Yeah.
And now you get to drive that beautiful car or truck. So
yeah, I'm really glad we finished with that question. And thank you for dropping that in the comments, brother. You know, I think people look at you and like, dude, it seems so far away, but barely 4 years ago, you were barely doing 300K in your business and revenue. And I think it's so cool to see that as a defining moment. And I think that's a perfect way to end. Brother, I really appreciate you sharing so much for us here on today's call. And brother, like, the cool thing is, man, I think we all have so much to learn from you. Thank you for being a leader for us here at Scale and the Sexy Business Status community, leading the charge. So we want to give you guys something. If you don't have a copy of our book yet, Scale, 8 Phases to Building an 8-Figure Business, go to scale8book.com, scale8book.com. Guys, we could easily sell this to you for $20. Him and I made a decision last week. We're just giving away the email version of this to you guys for free as our gift to you to help you build. So go get the book, scale8book.com. It sends you the full ebook right away. Jason and I both have built separately eight-figure businesses, and the book shares with you how to do that. Please read the book, get the download, share it with friends and family. But brother, thank you for tuning in, guys, for listening to this episode. And there you have it, Jason's Art of a $1 Million Month, man. And woo, that's a banger in the books, brother. This is my world, it cannot be rocked. You can't rock my world, son. Took a lot of work just to reach the top. Did a lot of climbing that I made it. Good luck to those who want to see me fly. I'll be number one for eternity. Wanna thank everyone who helped.